You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. We learned this morning that two tankers that were going through transitioning the Strait of Hormuz, and that's a choke point, if you will, because it's rather narrow and it borders on Iran, Saudi Arabia, and United Arab Emirates, Oman. So there's a lot of oil in the area, and tankers are continually going in and out of first the Gulf of Oman into either Iran or Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and then once they load up with either natural gas or oil, primarily oil, they have to go back out, and once they do, they can go to mainly countries in the Far East, such as Japan, Singapore, and a number of nations. So what's happening here? And we're going to get more details. We have some preliminary report. One of the fires is supposedly out. The other one is still burning. Neither ship has sank, but the crew has abandoned it because it could blow up, let's face it. And they did send out distress messages. We have our U.S. Fifth Fleet is based in Bahrain next to Qatar, and they got the distress call. Apparently, one was shelled and another was torpedoed. At least those are the initial reports. I caution you here, though, because it could have hit a mine. This is a heavily mined area. Now, there's established shipping lanes. Who did this? Now, everyone is pointing to Iran, but does Iran have, would they be the primary beneficiaries? No, because their oil and natural gas, to the extent that it's shipped out, have to go through the straits. So they don't want a war. I don't think Saudi Arabia wants a war, but who are the two leading powers there? Are Iran and Saudi Arabia, with Saudi Arabia obviously having the backing. There are an ally of the United States, and that's one of the reasons we have our fleet there. But there is just a lot of shipping of petroleum through that narrow strait. Now, John Bolton, he is very suspicious of Iran. He thought it was a mine. No one really knows. We're getting a lot of speculation until we get confirmed reports from the crew. Obviously, one of them thought they were shelled, another one thought they were torpedoed. That's rather distinctive. Whether you're shelled or torpedoed, you usually see the explosions and an incoming artillery shells coming in, or if it's a torpedo, you see the wake of the torpedo in the water. So there might be some photographic evidence. Right now, all we're seeing are pictures, photographs of both tankers on fire. And like I said, the crews of both ships, one Norwegian-owned, another Japanese-owned, and they were on their way out of the Strait of Hormuz going to, one I believe was going to Singapore, another one to Taiwan. So I'm glad the crew is all right. Now, one thing that's getting some attention is the fact that Prime Minister Prime Minister of Japan, Abe, is there talking to the Iranian government and their religious leaders, sort of as an intermediary, trying to calm the tensions between the United States and Iran. Now, Japan is very much dependent on oil, natural gas from a number of countries, primarily from the Middle East, but other countries as well. So they have an interest to make sure there's peace in the region and that tankers can continue to go in and out of the straits. So we're going to probably learn more in the next coming days. And before I forget to remind you, the studio will be closed all day Friday. We're on a summer schedule, which means the studio is closed down. The offices are closed down. So I will not be having a show tomorrow. I'd like to have one because there's a lot of breaking news. Now, one thing I wanted to cover, and this is in the news, at least the Treasury Department every month puts out, usually the middle of the month, the eighth business day, thereabouts. Sometimes they're late and don't put it out, or put it out after that. Put out a monthly Treasury statement, and I'm talking the U.S. Treasury Department. And that has in the past, and I periodically looked at it, you get statistics as well. Where are we in terms of government spending versus tax revenue? And the bottom line is, if we're spending too much money, you have what's called a deficit. The United States has been, for years now, spending too much money. And that's why it looks like that the deficit will be somewhere between $900 and $1,000 billion, or $1 trillion. And we clearly are going to spend over $4,000 billion, probably upwards of $4.5 trillion or $4,500. Now, that's just the statistics. That's like the symptom. What's the problem? The problem is government spending is out of control, and neither political party is doing anything about it. They don't have a budget. It's just pay as you go, and if we run out of money, borrow some more money and pay the bills that way. There's a phrase that not my generation, but my father's generation, and I remember one gentleman in particular would always use it. That's a hell of a way to run a railroad. Well, it's a hell of a way to run a government, the United States government. Most people have budgets. Now, obviously, if you're in a business, an enterprise, a charity, church, it's a little bit more formal, and you map it out monthly and even weekly. And if it's a business, you're trying to estimate revenues. Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes it isn't. Depends on the business and where you are in the business cycle. But businesses and governments should budget and should balance their budget. In other words, estimated revenues. Now, what are the revenues of the federal government? The revenues of the federal government are all the taxes they collect. The problem is all the taxes they collect, and I believe the American people are overtaxed. I don't think the answer to the situation is more and more taxes. That's the Democratic Party answer. Well, we need more taxes. No, what we need to do is start cutting spending, but the first step is to have a budget. We don't have a budget, and they just go on spending. And there's little concern amongst the Democrats, for sure, and for that matter, the Republicans. Don't worry about it. We'll just borrow the money. Just borrow some more money. Well, the budget deficit nearly doubled when George Bush became president. When Obama became president, it doubled again. And looks like if President Trump is elected for a second term, it'll double again. We can't keep doing this. Now, people say, what do you mean we can't do it? We've done it in the Bush years. We've done it in the Obama years. And now we're doing it in the Trump years. I said, that's exactly right. Keep voting Democrat and Republican. You're going to get the same thing. You're going to get the status quo. We have no leadership. No leadership in Washington, D.C., whether it's the presidency or the Senate or the House. We're not financially responsible because we have two political parties that are not financially responsible. They suffer for what I call SAD, spending addiction disorder. That's what they're really hooked on, spending addiction order. But it's gotten out of hand. You better believe it's out of hand. When you're running regularly hundreds of billions of dollars deficits, in other words, you're spending hundreds of billions of dollars more than all tax collections, you got a problem. You got an addiction. You're hooked. The problem is you're spending more money than the American people can afford. And it doesn't end well. Because what happens? You got to roll over the debt. You got to pay interest on it. And right now, I don't know the exact number, but we spend I better check it out before I quote the number. But interest is going to be increasingly a large percent of the budget. Now it's not. Well, I say it's not. It's less than 10%. But it's going to grow and grow and grow. And eventually what happens is there are people that believe that, at least up to now, that Treasury securities, whether it bills, bonds, or notes, and that depends on the duration or the length the security is for, whether it's 10 years or 90 days or 30-year bond. Normally, the shorter, like Treasury bills are typically 90 days, the lower the interest rate. The normal situation is an upward sloping yield curve. So if you want to get more yield or interest paid to you, you need to invest for a longer period of time. Now that's the normal situation. But what happens, especially as you near or about to go into recession, you'll have what they call an inverted yield curve, where it's actually short-term rates that are higher than long-term rates, or it goes flat. And that's what a lot of people look at. And that might, it has happened, and it's sort of happening now, but the problem you're in is interest rates have been so low for so long, they're not in a normal situation. And what I see happening is inflation is going to come back. And when inflation does come back, then you're going to see interest rates go up, up, and up. Now, there's still inflation in the economy. It drives me nuts when I say, well, it's only 2% or less than 2%. Well, price stability means no, zero inflation. So everyone is, the discussion is, well, what are they going to do? What is the Federal Reserve or central bank going to do in terms of the federal funds rate that they target? And that's the money that banks lend to each another so they can meet the Federal Reserve regulations as to what the minimum amount of reserves that they have on hand. And if they're short, they borrow from other banks. And this is very much short term. It's 24-hour money. But what the Federal Reserve or central bank has been, in terms of policy, trying to get that federal funds rate over time back up to a more normal situation. And more normal, in my mind, is between 3 and 5%. Well, the problem is if you think the economy is going to be going into a recession or is not growing as fast, you either do not have an increase in the target fund, or if you really think the economy needs an expansionary monetary policy, in other words, you're fearful that we might go into recession, then what you do is you actually cut the federal funds target rate. So the speculation or the discussion right now, well, are they going to stay pat, or are they going to do it one time, or are they going to do it two time? When are they going to do it? Are they going to do it this month? Are they going to do it in September? Are they going to do it in December? And everyone has an opinion, blah, 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 blah. How does this affect me? Well, if the economy goes into recession, you might not have a job. Keep that in mind. See, I've never been for, many years ago, what they changed the... Most central banks, their mandate is to keep the value of their currency constant. In other words, have the same purchasing power. And as far as I'm concerned, that should be the objective. Now, what they try to do is keep it under 2%. And we have some inflation, but it's at low numbers. It's not concerning. If the inflation was 3, 4, 5%, however you measure it, what would the Federal Reserve be doing? They would have a contractionary monetary policy, which means they would have higher and higher rates. Now, presidents, including Trump, including Obama, no president likes a contractionary monetary policy, because if they're wrong in terms of the timing and magnitude, you could, and the Fed has done this over its history, put the U.S. economy in a recession. No president wants their central bank or the United States Federal Reserve System to put the economy in a recession. Well, neither does the central bank, but they're human. They make mistakes, and they like to say they're data-driven. So what is the data they're driven by? Well, yes, the statistics. Is the economy growing? Is it growing at 3%, 2%? Well, we get monthly reports, estimates that give you the quarterly results, and we're in the second quarter. So the first estimate of the second quarter growth rates will come out next month. And next month also happens to be the 10th anniversary of this expansionary period. Ideally, we'd like to keep it going for 10, 20, 30 years. Is it going to go that long? No, not if you look at history. But ideally, it's in the interest of all Americans to see an expanding economy, a growing economy, especially if it's growing somewhere between 3%, 4%, 5%. And that truly depends on economic policies, specifically spending and taxing. Now, you all know we had a tax cut. Primarily, corporations had tax cuts, but there were also significant cuts in terms of personal income tax, but they didn't get their second. They were going to do another one, and then what happens? The people elected Democrats, and now they lost control of the House of Representatives. So don't expect a tax cut anytime soon or a reform of our tax system. You know, time is of the essence. And that's why when you have political power, if you control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, you better get what you want done. And it better be right. If it's right, you're going to get reelected. If it's wrong, you're going to be thrown out, which you should be. Right now, we have what I call gridlock, or people call gridlock. Divided government. That's another favorite term. We have divided government. The House is controlled by the Democrats, Senate by the Republicans narrowly, and the presidency obviously is Donald Trump. And it's really Donald Trump against the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, because he didn't come up through the ranks. He's not an establishment figure. He's an outsider, and no one wanted him. The Democratic Party didn't want him. The Republican Party really didn't want him. The bureaucracy doesn't want him. The big lie media doesn't want him. And yes, even the donors don't want him. Got elected president, and it looks like he's on his way for a second term. But what Donald Trump does not want is the Federal Reserve to jack up interest rates, because he's afraid he'll put it in a recession. A legitimate fear. I'm not a fan of the Federal Reserve. I would do away with it. Yeah, I'm not a... And yeah, that's what Ron Paul wanted to do, and that's what Rand Paul wants to do, but it's not going to happen, folks. You can want a lot of things. You see, I call it a remnant of central planning. And anytime you have a small group of people, no matter how smart they think they are, they're not that smart. And they screw it up. Why would I want to get rid of the Federal Reserve? Well, it was established by law in 1914 is when it actually got started. 1913, the end of the year, it was Woodrow Wilson that signed the bill that established the Federal Reserve. Well, they've been in business operating for over 100 years now. And what's happened to the value of the dollar? Remember, what is the primary goal, objective of all central banks? Not United States. The United States one's called the Federal Reserve. Any central bank. Price stability. You want to keep the value of your currency constant. You don't want the value go down by price increases, namely inflation, nor do you want the value of your currency to go up through deflation. And yes, we've had periods of deflation, such as the Great Depression. So you want price stability. So I would measure the success of the Federal Reserve in their 105 years and being existent, roughly 105 years. I think their birthday's coming up. Everyone's having a birthday. And don't forget that Donald Trump's birthday is Friday, for those that care. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I wouldn't vote for any Democrat or Republican anymore. Why? They're financially irresponsible. I'm talking about right now monetary policy. But what's the fundamental problem of the United States in the economics area? We're spending too much money. It's not hard to figure out. Not hard at all. What's hard to figure out is what the American people need to do to get their so-called leaders responsible again. My answer is throw the bums out, Democrats and Republicans. There's no leadership there. They don't know what they're doing. They do not. And neither does the Federal Reserve, because in 100 years, what has happened to the value of a 1914 dollar then and now? It's less than 2 pennies, folks. Less than 2 pennies. I call that failure. I call it abolish the Fed. These guys are incompetent. They'll screw it up. Good intentions don't matter. Whether they're brilliant economists don't matter. If they keep getting it wrong, or periodically get it wrong, big time wrong, abolish it. Is it going to happen? No, it won't happen. I can talk to I'm blue in the face. You know, Milton Friedman said, well, increase it roughly. You want a rule-based system. In other words, increase the money supply by 3%. You know, tie it to the growth rate of the economy, whatever that is. Well, you can do that. I think it would be better than the Federal Reserve, and you'd save a lot of money. You don't need a big fancy building and a lot of it's really a place where a lot of economists go to get employed, and I was initially going to be an economics professor. I decided about between the fourth and fifth year, I said, you know, I don't want to teach the same thing over and over and over and over again. And that's, if you think about it, what most professors do. Now, they might have two or three subjects that they teach over and over and over again. And the name of the game, if you want to move up in the hierarchy and the status, is publish. Publish or perish. Write article after article after article. Get it published in the leading journals, and you too will get tenure as a full professor. But who reads this stuff? I'll tell you. Other economists read this stuff. I've just told you, if you want to get ahead, first get your union card. What's the union card? You got to get a PhD from the best universities you can get into. And then hopefully, and get hired after you graduate, get your newly minted PhD. Well, then you got to get tenure, and you got to get promoted from an assistant professor to an associate to a full professor. How do you do that? Teaching well? No, that's not how you do it. You do it by publishing papers that get cited by other people. So you got to be a good writer, and you got to get published. And especially when I was going to school, the big thing was mathematics. It has to be mathematical. You need to use mathematics that few people can understand, especially non-economists won't understand. I'm only getting into this, but who is predominantly on the Federal Reserve Board? Economists. With PhDs from the best universities, the top 20 universities. Actually, the top roughly five, but that's another story. But they keep getting it wrong. That's why, see, my point is this. You can be very, very smart. You can be brilliant. But that doesn't make your decisions correct or wise, or prudent. People make mistakes all the time. This is complicated stuff. That's why I'm against central planning. It always fails. Let the market determine it. Why? Because knowledge, information is distributed amongst the population of the world. Who knows best how I should spend my money? Usually, it's that person knows best because they know their situation. They know their preferences. They know what they want. But what's the problem in Washington? We send our money to the people that we represent. I'm not talking campaign contributions. I'm talking tax. And what do? They spend all the money plus another several hundred billion more. And they do it again and again. It doesn't matter if you vote Democrat or Republican. You get the same result. And that has been described as insanity. And it's insane. That's why if you want to correct the problem, actually maybe see some change, please stop voting for Democrats or Republicans. Throw all the bums out. And they are bums because they're largely bought and paid for politicians. Yes, corruption is rampant in Washington. I always get a kick out of how many people go to the House or the Senate really not having much money, and after 20 or 30 years, they're multimillionaires. And yes, they exempt themselves from a lot of the laws that we have to put up with. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is we have to get our financial house in order. And like I said, if you're going to vote Democrat or Republican, it's not going to happen. Now, I'm looking at the time, and I have a limited amount of time to cover a lot. What's going to cause the next recession? Let me handle that. I can handle that in about 30 seconds. I don't know, and really nobody knows. I always get a chuckle out of these people that are going to predict climate change and their models fail. Predicting climate change is probably one of the most difficult things you can do. Economists are good for maybe a couple of weeks, a couple of months, at most a year, and then everything turns to doo-doo. I don't know what's going to cause the next recession. It could be a war in the Middle East. Two tankers, a torpedo, and a shell. Maybe there's going to be a war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. I don't want one. And it's really not in their interest to have one, but that could happen. We still haven't seen a trade agreement with China. And I think the Chinese Communist Party are getting nervous. The protesters in Hong Kong are protesting. They don't want that to get out of hand. And remember, it took over 70 years before the Soviet Union fell. Well, when was Communist China started? We need to get a trade deals with China, the European Union, and if we don't, that could cause the next recession. What do I really think will cause it? I don't know, and we'll be surprised. Maybe the Democrats will win the White House back. Could that cause a recession? Probably. If you listen to Krugman, when Trump was elected, he was predicting that stock market would crash and we're going to go into depression. That's why I don't make any forecasts, folks. I don't know. You talk to a lot of experts that give you a lot of opinions, but the honest answer is they don't know. If they truly knew, I mean absolute 100% certainty, and they put their money where their mouth is, they all should be rich. They shouldn't be economists, and they shouldn't be on TV telling you what the next recession will be caused by. Truth be known, they don't know. And they'll tell you, though, once it happens. And some will say, I predicted it. Did you predict that two tankers in the Middle East were going to be attacked and on fire? Now, if that gets out of hand, and it could, a war in the Middle East will not be good. That would put the world, I think, into a recession. Because what's going to immediately spike up? We've only seen a couple of percentage. Oil prices are going to go up. Better go out and fill up. No, it's going to take a little bit longer, but if tensions in the Middle East ultimately lead to war, a lot of people are going to get killed and a lot of money is going to be lost in the stock market. And guess what? The economy could go into recession and a lot of people will be laid off. That's why war and peace should be your focus. And what has the United States done for the last 74 years? Intervene in country after country. We don't seem to learn. That's a loser's game. Intervention is the wrong way to go, whether it's domestically into the economy or in country after country. But we have people in the United States that are interested, make big money selling weapon systems to the federal government. And that's sort of one of the stories that I simply don't have time to get into. But the Air Force is about to sign a major contract with Lockheed Martin. For what? 478, what they call the new Joint Strike Fighter, the F-35 Lightning II, for about $80 million. Now, I used to work on the F-15 program. That's a lot of money, folks. It's easy to criticize. And yes, when you have a new plane, the phrase that I love, you're going to have growing pains. Yes, because you can't be perfect. Mistakes are going to be made. And yes, there's been a lot of problems with the controversial, put that in quotes, F-35 program. Oh yeah, it's way expensive. I used to have to estimate the price of the F-15, just the airframe, not the engine. That was separate. And you have learning curves, and you got to, what's the slope of the learning curve, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to bore you with that. It's not hard. It's not easy. But things happen. Inflation happens. That's why many of these contracts had clauses. I had to negotiate and figure out, well, how do you calculate what the adjustment to the price will be? It's big money, folks. The bottom line is it's big money. And yes, Lockheed Martin's going to get a lot of money. And it's not just from the United States. It's 11 other countries. And they'll probably produce 3,000 to 4,000 of them. But what can bring down an F-35? A missile. A missile can go faster than a fighter aircraft. It can turn faster. And if you have good and better radars, I always love the phrase, it's a stealth fighter. What does stealth mean? It means that the return from the radar gets smaller and smaller. It's sort of an art. But it's not invisible, folks. And you do have advances in radar, and missiles and radar that are good will bring down fighter aircraft, no matter how good they are. The days of dogfights are over. It's long-range, standoff aircraft firing missiles at targets. And yeah, it helps if you're stealthy, but that's expensive, folks. They designed and produced this aircraft together. When I was in the Air Force, the phrase was, fly before you buy. In this case, we're designing it, flying it, testing it, producing it all at the same time. And guess what? We have big overruns. Surprise! What drives up? Why do we have a national debt going to $23 trillion? Why do we have unfunded liabilities 10 times that? We don't have leadership in Washington, either political leadership or military leadership or industrial leadership. We have incompetence. We have corruption. And it continues whether the Democrats are running the show or the Republicans are running the show. We have to get this under control, and it's not going to happen. And I'm saying there's no guarantee here, but you're going to have to stand up, organize a new political party, and believe in budgets. Believe in balanced budgets. Believe in limited government. Otherwise, you're going to get a big mess that we have right now. And it's getting worse and worse and worse, and there will be a day of reckoning. And by that, I mean the United States can't pay not only its bills, people won't lend it money anymore. And we're probably 10 to 20 years, in that time frame, it's going to hit the fan. And you know what I'm talking, hitting the fan, and it's going to hit you and me because we elected people that are not leaders. They don't have the courage, they don't have the integrity, they don't have the vision, and frankly, they don't have the wisdom. They're good talkers, they're good BSers, but they betrayed you on many different levels. And you go keep on reelecting them? Yes, that's insanity. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful. Thank you. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.